onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, December the 28th, 2016. And I'd like to remind everybody that I will be the guest on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock show immediately following this show today. I did an interview with Andy, and it plays at 10 o'clock following Word for Word today. Today's show is 1 Kings chapters 8 through 10. And it's a lot of prayer, etc., by Shlomo, that's Solomon. Chapter 8 is when he brings the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. And that was a big event, because it had been in just a tent up until that time. And finally, the house of Yahweh was done, and they were going to put the ark in its proper spot in the brand new temple. So let's get started. Chapter 8 of the book of 1 Kings, verse 1. And you can reference 2 Samuel 6, verses 12 through 16, and 1 Chronicles 15, verses 25 through 29 for this verse. Then assembled Shlomo the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs of the fathers and the children of Israel, unto King Shlomo in Jerusalem, so that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh from the city of David, which is Sion, T-S-I-Y-O-N, 6726, not Z-I-O-N. That's incorrect spelling there. And it's T-S-I-Y-O-N, Zion. Whoa, in verse 2, all the men of Israel assembled to King Shlomo at the feast 2282 in the month Ethanim 388, which is the seventh month. And remember, the names of these months are, a lot of them are not scriptural. Okay, there's a lot of that they did put pagan names at this point to some of the seven of the months. So verse 2, you can reference Leviticus 23, verse 34. And the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month, is the Feast of Booths. Okay, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. So that's a big important event. That was one of the commanded feasts where they had to assemble. Verse 3, all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. They had to put the poles through the pole holders, and very complicated. They couldn't touch it because it would kill them. Verse 4, they brought up the ark of Yahweh and the tent of meeting and all the holy vessels that were in the tent, those the priests and the Levium brought up. Those are the Levites, okay? Only they were allowed to touch these items. And I'm suffering from a little bit of dry throat here because the furnace has been pumping because it's cold and it's dried things out a bit. So I'll have to have a ceremonial sip of Dr. Pepper here. I treated myself to a soda pop. I don't usually drink them, but I do like Dr. Pepper, and I'll have one once every blue moon. Verse 5. King Shlomo and all the congregation of Israel assembled to him were with him before the ark, slaughtering sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And verse 5, you can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 6. And verse 6 of chapter 8. Brought the priests the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh into its place, into the inner sanctuary of the house, to the Holy of Holies, under the wings of the cherubim. Verse 7, because spread forth the cherubim wings over the place of the Ark, and covered over the cherubim the Ark and the poles of it, from above. Verse 8. They lengthened 7, 4, 8 the poles so that the ends, 7, 2, 1, 8, that's literally the head of the poles, were seen from the holy place before the inner sanctuary and not seen outside. And there they are unto this day. In other words, they pulled the poles out to one side. Verse 9, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone, which Moshe put there at Horeb when Yahweh made covenant with the children of Israel when they went forth but from the land of Mitzrayim. And verse 9, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 5. Verse 10, it came to be when the priest came forth from the holy place that the cloud, that's Anan, 6051, filled the house of Yahweh. That's how he manifested himself. Verse 10 and 11, you can reference Exodus 40, verses 34 and 35. Verse 11, so that the priest could not stand to minister from the presence of the cloud, because the glory of Yahweh had filled the house of Yahweh. So they had to scoot on out of there. Yahweh was pleased, and he rested on the ark, and nobody could be in his presence. Nobody. Verse 12, then spoke Shlomo, said Yahweh that he would dwell in the heavy cloud, 6205, that's Arafel. And verse 12, you can reference Psalms 18, 11 and 97, verse 2. Verse 13, I have surely built you a lofty 2073 house a dwelling place, 4349, for you to dwell, 3427, forever. Verse 14, turned around the king his face and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel was standing. Verse 15, said he, blessed be Yahweh Elohe Israel, that's Yahweh the God of Israel, which spoke with his mouth to David my father, and with his hand fulfilled it, saying, verse 16, and you can reference 2 Samuel 7, verses 4 through 11, and 1 Chronicles 17, verses 3 through 10. Since the day that I brought forth my people, Israel, clearly identifying us as his people, from Mitzrayim, I chose no city from all the tribes of Israel to build a house, that my name might be in it, but I chose David to be over my people Israel. Verse 17. And it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohe Israel. And verse 17 and 18, you can reference 2 Samuel 7, verses 1 through 3, and 1 Chronicles 17, verses 1 and 2. Verse 18, said Yahweh to David my father, because that it was in your heart to build a house to my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Okay, he was pleased that David was thinking of him first. Nevertheless, okay, you shall not build the house, but your son that shall come forth from your loins, he shall build the house to my name. Well, that's what just occurred. Shlomo finally got it done. Verse 20, and has performed Yahweh the word that he spoke, and I, speaking of himself, Shlomo, am risen up in the place of my father and sit on the throne of Israel as Yahweh promised, and build a house for the name of Yahweh Elohe Israel. Dr. Pepper. Set I there a place for the ark, in which is the covenant of Yahweh, which he made with our ancestors or forefathers, when he brought them forth from the land of Mitzrayim. Now, here we come into Shlomo's temple prayer. This is a long and involved deal here in chapter 8. Verse 22. Stood Shlomo before the altar of Yahweh, before all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hands toward the sky. Verse 23, said he, Yahweh Elohe Israel, that's Yahweh the God of Israel, no Elohim, that's small e, no divine being or small g God, no Elohim is like you in the sky above or on the land beneath, who keeps covenant with loving kindness with your servants that walk before you with all their heart. All right, now this is a stipulation. If you listen to that verse, your servants that walk before you with all their heart. He keeps covenant with them. Those that do not, he does not keep covenant with. Verse 24, who has kept with your servant David my father that which you promised him. You spoke it with your mouth and have fulfilled by your hand as this day. Now verse 25, and you can reference 1 Kings chapter 2 verse 4. Therefore now, Yahweh Elohe Israel, keep with your servant David my father that which you promised him, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man from before me to sit on the throne of Israel, so that your children guard their way, that means be observant in the way they conduct their lives, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. That's the king's job. They didn't keep that promise. The kings never kept that promise. Verse 26, and now, O Elohe Israel, let your word, please, be verified, 539, that's wa'amen, you know, so be it, be verified, amen, which you spoke to your servant David, my father. Verse 27, but will Elohim truly, 522, dwell on the land? Behold, the sky and sky of skies cannot contain you. How much less this house that I have built? That's verse 27. You can reference 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 6, and 3 Maccabees 2, verse 15. Now Shlomo here in this verse is recognizing how vast and powerful Yahweh truly is. The limited plane of existence we have here on this planet couldn't contain him. And there is sin here, and he could not actually be here in his fullness because he would destroy it because of the presence of sin. So he would manifest himself like he did here in that heavy cloud that came down and rested on the ark. It was like a gateway that he could speak through. I know that's a little science fiction-y, but we're talking about the divine being that created the whole universe. And we'll never be able to comprehend all his wonderfulness. We just won't. We're only men. Atoms. Verse 28. Turn, 6437, toward the prayer, 8605, of your servant, and to his supplication, 8467, O Yahweh Elohai, that's my God, and listen to the cry, 7440, and to the prayer which your servant prays, 6419, before you this day. In verse 28, you can reference 2 Chronicles 6, verse 19. Verse 29, that your eyes may be open toward this house night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there. Okay, that's the seat of his name at that time. It would later be withdrawn. Okay, this is just at this point in time. And it's very pertinent. He was obedient at this stage of the game. That you may listen to the prayer that your servant makes toward this place. All right, towards this place. And the temple was in the east. And people used to bow to the east when they prayed when the temple was in existence. The temple no longer exists. The temple is within us, so we don't have to bow toward the east anymore because it's no longer there. It's been removed. We're in dispersion. We're not like the Muslims that bow toward Mecca. Verse 30. Listen to the supplication of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray toward this place, and hear you in the sky, your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. 5545. That's actually to lift up the sin from upon the person. Verse 31, if a man sins, 2398, and that means to miss the mark or of right and duty to another. If a man sins against another, and an oath, 423, be put upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath comes before your altar in this house, verse 32, then hear you in the sky and act and rightly judge your servants, condemning, 7561, the wicked, 7563, to put his way upon his head. In other words, his justice will be upon his own head, and justifying the righteous to give according to his righteousness. That's what's going to happen when Yeshua Messiah comes back. There will be true divine justice, not the so-called justice of mankind, because we don't have justice today. We just don't. Verse 33, and you can reference 33 and 34, you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 10. When your people Israel are smitten before the hated enemy because they have sinned against you, in other words, Yahweh is using another people to punish Israel, and he's done that over time. We're being punished now. And shall turn back to you, and a lot of us are turning back to Yahweh now. The remnant is gathering. That's what's going on today. We are gathering the faithful. And acknowledge, 3034, that's hodu. That's one of the tenses of yada, to know. And acknowledge your name and pray, making supplication to you in this house. Well, we're making supplication to him from our temple within us, where our spirit dwells, our holy of holies within us. Because the physical temple is destroyed, and Yeshua will bring a new temple with him. Verse 34. Hear you in the sky and forgive, in other words, lift up, salakheta, the sin of your people Israel, and return them to the land which you gave to their fathers, their ancestors, forefathers. Verse 35. When the sky is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against you, if they pray toward this place, and acknowledge your name and turn back from their sin because you afflict them, verse 36, hear you in the sky and forgive the sin of your servants, of your people Israel, that you teach them the good way in which they should walk and give rain upon the land which you have given to your people for an inheritance. Okay, well, we finally sinned so much and the priesthood was so corrupted that we are in final dispersion, and all the blessings that were placed on that land for us have been removed. And it is a hellhole now, and the Jews inhabit it, and they have no right to be there, but we are in dispersion from it. They got all the mixed breeds over there now. Verse 37. If there be in the land famine, if there be pestilence, blight, mildew, locust, if there be caterpillar, if their hated enemies besiege them, and the land of their cities, any plague, any sickness. That's verse 37. And 37 to 38, you can reference 2 Chronicles 6, verses 28 and 29. Verse 38, all prayer and supplication, all that comes to be by any Adam, by all your people Israel, which shall be known each man the plague of his heart, and spreads forth his hands toward this house. The plague of his heart is his personal sin, okay? And all of Israel is of the Adamic race. It's stipulated here in that verse. Hear you in the sky, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and give to each man according to his ways, whose heart you know, because you only know the hearts of all the children of Adam. And that's another specific reference to Adam, capital A Adam there. Verse 40, that they may revere you all the days that they live upon the face of the ground, the surface of the ground, that you gave our fathers, our ancestors, forefathers. 41, moreover, towards a foreigner, 5237, that is not of your people Israel, but comes from a distant land for the sake of your name, because shall be heard your great name and of your mighty hand and stretched out arm when he comes and prays toward this house. And that stranger, a foreigner, 5237, is Nakri, means a racial alien. Hear you in the sky, your dwelling place, and act according to that which the foreigner calls to you for, so that all people of the land may know your name and revere you as your people Israel, and that they know that this house which I have built is called by your name. Now, let's stop right here and clear this up. The racial aliens that are not of the people of Israel can be saved from destruction. They will be allowed to live out their natural human lifespan, but they will not become Israel. They will never be children of the promise. And they can never be redeemed. Now, the redemption and salvation are two different things. And people keep getting them confused. Oh, you mean the Jews can be saved? No. The Edomites will forever be destroyed. There's no hope for them. That's made clear. And Shlomo here is being magnanimous. This is not Yahweh speaking. But the neighboring tribes that lived around Israel, if they would repent and know that Yahweh is the divine being and would pray to them and stop their pagan practices, they would not be destroyed. And that's all that means. But did they ever do it? Does it mean that a racial alien can enter the congregation of Yahweh, specifically violating Deuteronomy 23, verse 2? No, it doesn't mean that. Yeshua gave a little bit of the crumbs of the blessing to the Canaanite woman. And he was Yahweh in the flesh. He said, your daughter is saved. I can't give the food of the children to the dogs. Called her a dog. And she acknowledged that she was a dog. And that's what got the little blessing that Yeshua gave her. Did he make her an Israelite? No, he did not. Did she get eternal life? No, she did not. Did her daughter get eternal life? No, that she did not. She got a little crumb from the table. And that's what they're talking about right here, is crumbs from the table. So that should clear that up. Verse 44. If your people go out to battle against their hated enemies, by what way you send them, and shall pray to Yahweh on the way toward the city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, verse 45, hear in the sky their prayer and supplication, and do justice. 4:9-4:1. If they sin against you, because no Adam sins not, another reference, were Adamic, and you are angry with them, and give them to the hated enemy, so that they carry them away as captives to the land of the hated enemy, far or near. If they return in their mind toward the land from where they were carried as captives, and turn and make supplication toward you in the land of those that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have committed iniquity, that's 5:7-5:3, and have acted wickedly, 7:5-6:1. Verse 48, and you can 48 through 50, you can reference 3 Maccabees 2, verse 10. And return to you with all their heart and all their being in the land of their hated enemies, which led them away captive, and pray to you toward the land which you gave to their forefathers, the city which you have chosen, and the house which I have built for your name. Hear you their prayer and supplication in the sky, your dwelling place, and do justice. Forgive your people that have sinned against you, and all their transgressions that they have transgressed against you, and give them compassion before those who carried them captives, that they may show them compassion. Need to clear my lungs here, folks. Okay. Verse 51. And you can reference verse 51 in Deuteronomy 4, verse 20. Because they are your people and your inheritance that you brought forth from Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, from the midst of the furnace, 3:5-6:4, of iron, 1:2:70. 1:2:7:0. 52. So that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant, and to the supplication of your people Israel, to hear them in all they call out to you. Verse 53, note this. Because you set them apart, 9:1:4, from all the people of the land as your inheritance, as you spoke by the hand of Moshe your servant, when you brought forth our fathers, or in other words, our forefathers, from Mitzrayim, O Lord Yahweh. And that was the end of the prayer. Verse 54. It was when Shlomo made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication to Yahweh, he rose up from before the altar of Yahweh, from kneeling upon his knees with his hands spread to the sky. Verse 55, he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a great voice, saying, And this is verse 56. You can reference Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 10, and Joshua chapter 21, verses 44 and 45. Blessed be Yahweh that has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he spoke. There has not fallen, 5307, one word from all his good words, which he spoke by the hand of Moshe, his servant. That's the Torah, okay? Verse 57, Yahweh Eloheinu, that's our God, be with us, as he was with our forefathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us. Verse 58, so that he may incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways, and to guard his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our forefathers. In other words, the Torah is still in effect. Verse 59, let these words by which I have made supplication to Yahweh be near, 7138, to Yahweh Eloheinu day and night, so that he does justice to his servant and the justice of his people Israel. Who are his people? Israel. The matter of the day in its day. Okay. Take care of things on the day they occur. Verse 60, so the people of the land, that's the non-Israelite people that surrounded Israel, so the people of the land know that Yahweh is the Elohim and no other. Even the pagans would know who Yahweh was, and that he was the real deal, not some piece of stone or wood that they carved. Verse 61, let your heart be holy standing with Yahweh Eloheinu, that's our God, to walk in his statutes and to guard his commandments as this day. Verse 62, the king and all Israel slaughtered sacrifices before Yahweh. Shlomo slaughtered a sacrifice of well-being, that's a peace offering, which he slaughtered to Yahweh, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the children of Israel dedicated 2596 the house of Yahweh. The same day the king hallowed 6942, the middle of the courtyard that was before the house of Yahweh, because there he did burnt offerings and grain offerings and the fat of the offerings of well-being. Because the bronze altar that was before Yahweh was too small to hold the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat offerings of well-being. At that time, Shlomo made a feast, and all Israel with him, a great congregation from the entrance to Hamath unto the Wadi of Mitzrayim before Yahweh Eloheinu 7 days and 7 days, 14 days. On the eighth day, he sent away the people, and they blessed the king and went to their tents, joyful and glad of heart over all the goodness that Yahweh had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. That ends chapter 8. This was a huge, huge event. And it was over the whole country. I mean, the whole nation of Israel, they couldn't fit them all in Jerusalem. I mean, Jerusalem is not all that big, really. And they had all of Israel, the whole nation celebrated this. You know, the dedication of the altar by decree. And here we are in chapter 9. It came to be when Shlomo had finished the building of the house of Yahweh and the king's house and all Shlomo's desire that he was pleased to do, that Yahweh appeared to Shlomo the second time as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And verse 2, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, and 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 7. And verse 3, said Yahweh to him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you made before me. I have hallowed this house. In other words, he has blessed that temple that was just built. He's going to live in it, well, dwell in it, manifest himself in it. I have hallowed this house that you, which you have built, to put my name there forever. And forever means for a very long time. Doesn't actually mean for all eternity, because it was going to be destroyed. And my eyes and my heart shall be there all the time. Well, that is at that period of time. And verse 3, you can reference 3 Maccabees chapter 2, verse 9. Now here's verse 4, the big word again. If, 5:18, that makes it conditional. If you walk before me as Dawood your father walked in integrity, 8:5-7, of heart, and in uprightness to act according to all I have commanded you, and guard my statutes and my judgments, means to observe them, keep the feast, etc., etc. Verse 5, I will establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, that's his lineage, as I promised to Dawood your father, saying, there shall not be cut off from you a man upon the throne of Israel. And verse 5, you can reference 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4. Verse 6, if, 5:18, conditional, about disobedience again, if you at all turn from following me, you or your children, not guarding my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other Elohim and bow down to them. And Shlomo would do that in the future. Verse 7, then I will cut off Israel from upon the face of the land that I have given them, and this house that I have hallowed for my name will I cast from my presence, and Israel shall become a proverb, 4:9-12, and a byword, 8:1-8, among all people. That's going to happen, okay, in the future. Verse 8 of chapter 9, and you can reference 2 Kings chapter 25, verse 9, and 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 19. And at this house which was exalted, all that pass through upon it shall be astonished, 8:07-4, and shall hiss, 8:3-19, and they shall say, why has Yahweh done this to this land and to this house? Verse 9, they shall answer, because they forsook Yahweh Elohim, that means their God, that brought forth their forefathers from the land of Mitzrayim and have taken hold of other Elohim, that's small g gods, and have bowed down to them and served them. Therefore has Yahweh brought upon them all this evil. Well, that's going to happen. That temple, well, that temple is gone. Verse 10, it came to be at the end of 20 years that Shlomo had built the two houses, the house of Yahweh and the king's house. Verse 11, Hiram, the king of Soar, had supplied Shlomo with cedar trees and fir trees, and with gold according to all his desire. And then King Shlomo gave Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. 1551, that's Galilee in your King James Bible. Verse 12, Hiram came forth from Soar to see the cities which Shlomo had given him, and they were not pleasing in his eyes. Verse 13, said he, what cities are these that you have given me, my brother? It just gave him a bunch of garbage cities. And he called them the land of Kabul, 3521, to this day. And Kabul equals Baal 1077, which means not. And the not in verse 12, 3808, ties in with that. So Kabul would be as nothing. In other words, worthless to him. So he was not happy with what Shlomo had given him. Verse 14, Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. Verse 15, this is the reason for the levy that King Shlomo raised to build the house of Yahweh and his own house and Milo and the wall of Jerusalem and Katzor and Megiddo and Gezer. Verse 16, Parao, king of Mitzrayim, had gone up and captured Gezer and burned it with fire and slew the Kanani that dwelt in the city and gave it as a present to his daughter, the wife of Shlomo. Verse 17, Shlomo rebuilt Gezer and Beth Koron, 1032, the lower, 8481, and Baalath, 1191, and Tadmor, 8412, in the wilderness, in the land. Verse 19, you can reference 2 Chronicles, chapter 8, verse 6. And all the cities of storage, 4543, that Shlomo had, and cities for his chariots, and cities for his horsemen, and that which Shlomo loved, 2836, and desired, 2837, to build in Jerusalem and in Lebanon and in all the land of his dominion, 4475. Verse 20, all people left, 3498, of the Emori, Kitti, Perizi, Kiwi, and Yebusi, which were not of the children of Israel, their children that were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel were not able to utterly exterminate, 2763, upon those did Shlomo raise a levy of forced, 4522, service, 5647, unto this day. If they couldn't drive them out, they made them slaves. Verse 22, but of the children of Israel, Shlomo made no slaves, because they were men of war, and his servants, and officials, and officers, and commanders of his chariots and his horsemen. Verse 23, these were the chief prefects that were over Shlomo's work, 550, which ruled over the people that did the work. Verse 24, Parao's daughter came up from the city of Dawid to her house, which was built for her. Then he built Milo. Verse 25, three times a year, Shlomo offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being upon the altar that was before Yahweh, so he completed the house. And verse 25, you can reference Exodus 23:17 and 34:23 and Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. Verse 26, King Shlomo made a fleet of ships, 590, in Etzion Geber, 6100, which is beside Eloth, 359, on the shore of the Sea of Reeds in the land of Edom. They dominated that land. Verse 27, Hiram sent in the fleet of ships, his servants, men of ships that had knowledge of the sea, with the servants of Shlomo. They were all working together. In verse 27 and 28, you can reference 2 Chronicles 8, verse 18. Verse 28, and they came to Ophir, 2:1:1, and fetched from there gold, 420 talents, and brought it to King Shlomo. Well, I'm looking at the show clock here. I'm not going to get into chapter 10 today. I just don't have the time because those two chapters were so long. So I'll take up chapter 10 tomorrow. We'll see how far we get tomorrow. There's a lot of long dissertation in these two chapters, all the prayers and all the little side notes that go with those prayers. But remember the little two-letter word, if. That was put in there to make it conditional, because Yahweh knows, as he told the people of Israel through Shemuel, through Samuel, he said, this is what's going to happen when you get a king. What did Solomon do? He just put the whole nation to work and did all this stuff. He just ordered it. And they went into debt. He had to get gold and everything from all these other lands. Oh yeah, it was good. He built the temple to Yahweh. But later on, it's going to be destroyed, and Yahweh knows this. It's not going to be a permanent temple. And also, I truly believe that if Dawud had built that temple, it would not have been razed. And it wouldn't have been torn down. But he didn't let him build it. He let his son Shlomo. Well, Shlomo's going to go bad. In chapter 10, which I will get into tomorrow, Shlomo is going to be visited by the Queen of Sheba, 7:6:1-4. Now, I will clear up that thing about her being a Negro tomorrow. Sheba was an Adamite land. It was not Ethiopia or any of that. But she was a white woman, okay? So let's not get off the tangent today, because I'm going to have to cover it all tomorrow. I want to remind everybody that I will be on the Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. as his guest, and it was just a dandy interview. Andy is just such a skilled interviewer. And I have a new show coming up to replace one of the pastors that has left. I have given up my spot on Yahweh's Covenant People. The original pastor that started that show with Eli is coming back. And he will be on that show with us. We're going to do a three-person show this coming Friday on the 30th of December. And then after that, he's going to take my spot on Yahweh's Covenant People on Friday evenings. and I will be taking on January the 5th, 2017, I will have a weekly sermon, and it's going to be called, the show is going to be called Wake Up Call, and it will be a current events sermon about the happenings of the prior week, Thursday to Thursday, with scriptural application to them. What it means scripturally that these things are happening. And I'm going to be quite honest. I'll be doing a little preaching. Okay? I've done that on here. I get off on a tangent. When the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you, you just don't say no. That just, you know, I'm sorry. But that you don't resist. So we will see what we will see, and I hope you tune in. This is the Wednesday following the pagan holiday of Christmas. I did not observe Christmas. I do not. Those in Christian identity know that it is Yule and is the ascension of the sun god Mithra. So we don't do Christmas because it was established by a pope to bring in the pagans. And now we've got all this whole week will be a mad shopping rush, I am sure, because it is the Jews' bonanza business days. They make all their shekels now. So a good week to stay in and study Scripture. You got to work. Be safe out there. Be aware of your surroundings. We've got the inauguration coming up in January, and we will see whether it turns violent or not. I pray that it does not, but I'm not going to hold my breath. It is the nature of a lot of these creatures just to tear stuff up, and there will be paid protesters and paid violence causers. This is a concerted plan by the enemy to help destroy us. These people don't do it of their own volition. They are paid operatives. And they come in and they stir up the local population who gets high or drunk. And they love nothing better than a good riot. Let's burn down our own neighborhood. Boy, that's smart. But anyway, I will catch you tomorrow on Thursday with 1 Kings 10, and how far I will get, we will see. I couldn't get 10 in today, even though it's a small chapter. 8 and 9 were just too big, so forgive me. And at this point in time, I will say Shalom Aleichem. That is peace be unto you. And may Yahweh bless and keep you. And I will talk to you tomorrow on Thursday, starting with 1 Kings chapter 10. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe.